Opal.
KB4CBA, K4WCO. I believe it's Dave or David.
David, and you're going to have to tell me your name again. how you doing this afternoon?
Doing well. Name is John. Juliet Oscar Hotel November. I talked to you when I was sitting in front of a store waiting on my wife, and I guess that's the story of my life here. I'm sitting down here in Easley in the parking lot of Hamrick's waiting on my wife.
Well, well, well. Been there and done that more times than I can count. And, you know, it's too bad there's not a store around there that interests you. You could just run in and, you know, just look around, if nothing else. Like I used to do, I'd drop her off and go in the Radio Shack or something. But there ain't no Radio Shacks, at least not in South Carolina. I found one open in, all of them closed. I found one open in, where was it, Sevierville or Pigeon Forge. And he said they weren't closing, but I don't know about that.
But I understand there is still a Radio Shack in Toccoa, Georgia. The one locally where I live closed many years ago. And I don't mind sitting in the car, either talking on the radio or put the seat back, take a little nap. And I usually go into Hamrick's. I don't mind going into Hamrick's, but parking lot's pretty full. I wouldn't say I'm evasive of crowds, but I don't like going in the stores this time of year. Too many people. Too much booty bumping going on. I do like to go through the I've seen on TV section and see what I could find. And I just didn't feel like going in. We just had lunch at Silver Bay, and I'm kind of stuffed. And I thought I'd just wait in the car, or the truck, I should say. I told her to take her time. She's already ruined my plans for the day. I wanted to go take the Jeep out in the woods and go for a Jeep ride, but I doubt we'll get back in time. We still got several more stops on the way back up to northern Pickens County.
Sister owns a Jeep. She just bought a 21, I think it's a Rubicon, if I'm saying it right, and she lives in Maggie Valley, and they don't have a parade, so they're having a Jeep parade, so she's decorating her Jeep and for the parade tonight.
Something like that in Pickens, probably end of September, early October, they had a big Jeep parade. I think the route, well, it wasn't really a parade, it was more of a, I think they said they had a couple hundred Jeeps there. They met at Pickens High School, and they went up 178, and down 11, and then down, I forgot what road that is that comes back into Pickens. But if I had known about it, I would have taken mine. Mine is not a show Jeep. You know, a lot of people make them real pretty. Mine's an old 97 TJ, and it was my wife's daughter's. She bought it when she was single, but she's no longer single and no longer without children. She's got one and one on the way, so when the first one was on the way, she decided to sell it and buy something a little bit more practical, like a SUV. So I bought it from her. Needs a paint job, but you know what? I take it out in the woods up in the Chilcasse Gorges area, and hey, if I scrape a tree branch or something, I don't worry about it. So we have a lot of fun. I bought it 2 years ago when I turned 60. I told my wife, you know, I got a lot of things on my bucket list I want to do. If we don't start doing them now, we'll never get them done. So buying an old Jeep and going out in the woods has been something I've wanted to do. So that's the story on that. But I love going up there in the woods, up in Jocassee Gorges. It's just so beautiful up there, and you get a whole different perspective on things when the leaves are off the trees like they are. K4WCL, you going to play tennis there, Dave?
KB4CPA, you hit that nail right on the head. We have a thing called the Bubble League. The Bubble is the two indoor courts, and they're in this big thing that looks like a bubble. And so we start in November, and we'll play through January to the end of January every Saturday for 2 hours. So mine's at 5 o'clock. I'm in a drive-through line right now, and then I'm gonna head on over there and get warmed up and get ready to play. But I've been doing some ham radio stuff too. I've been looking online at amplifiers and tuners for HF.
You were going to play tennis last time we spoke, last Saturday, and it was about this time in the afternoon, so, well, tell me what kind of amp and tuner you're looking at. I'm in the market for a tuner. I recently set up a vintage station, not super vintage, not boat anchors, but late 70s, late 60s, early 70s gear. I bought a TR-4, and one of my buddies locally, I had lunch with him a couple months ago, and I picked the radio up from another buddy the same day. I was telling him about the TR-4, and he asked me if I was interested in an L4B amp that he had, and I said no. And a couple days later, I was curious what he wanted for it, and he didn't want a whole lot of money for it. Said it works fine, and he just needs to thin the herd out, so I'm going to buy the amp from him. But I've been looking for a MN2000, which is the high-power manual tuner that Drake made for that amplifier. And I should have bought one when I saw it online a couple months ago. It was more than I wanted to pay, but it was fairly reasonable compared to some of the other things I'm seeing. But what are you looking at? I've got a couple of ALS 600s. And if you're not looking for a kilowatt or legal limit, that's a nice little amplifier.
Hang on, I'm getting ready to order. A moment. Well, I've been looking at the Meritron. It's an 800 watt amp. It's the I don't remember the model number, but anyway, it's got the nicer tubes in it, and I've been looking at an MFJ tuner that'll handle 1.5K. So I won't have to worry about blowing up the tuner. And I think 800 watts is all I need, really. But anyway, and I've been doing some calculations about RF exposure. There's a calculator on ARRL you can use to calculate that.
And he's got to do a RF exposure evaluation by, I think it's May of next year. You know, on HF frequencies, unless you're right underneath the antenna or something, you're probably fine. I think the amplifier you're looking at is 811H, if I'm not mistaken. Real popular amp. I know a lot of people that have them. I bought both of my ALS 600s used, and I got a good deal on both of them. I got one for $600, and I got one for $750. And they're nice little amps. You know, I like, you don't have to mess with the plate and the load, although I do have to do that on the Drake. I was very familiar with the process in that I used to key my dad's Drake up in the day and mess around with tuning the power amplifier. He accused me of blowing up the tubes in it. Maybe I did, I don't know. But that's been a fun radio. But I went out and got a, you know, I had 200-watt tuners. And obviously with the amplifier, I couldn't use those. So I went out and bought, I'm a big fan of LDG automatic tuners. MFJ, you know, they make some good ones too, but I've always had good success with LDG, so I got a couple of their LDG 600s, and they all work fine. My issue right now is I blew the ballon up in my off-center fed dipole up here. I still have one at home, and I ordered a new one Thursday. I'll probably get it Monday or Tuesday, so that'll be the project for next week. If the wife wants to go down to Easy to go shopping, she'll be on her own. But I'd like to get my HF antenna back up here. It's been 5 or 6 weeks now since I've had any HF capabilities. And I don't get on HF a lot during the weekend, but a group of locals back home, we get on 75 meters on Saturday night and yuck it up for a couple of hours, and I haven't been able to join in with those guys, so kind of missing that. So hopefully we'll have the antenna back up next week. I did replace the feed line, so I know it's not the feed line. So the ballon is pretty much the next suspect on the list, and I thought, hey, if I got to take the whole antenna down and test it, I might as well just put a new one up. K4WCL Easley.
KN4VWA.
I was just curious, that Ameritron AL600, is that a linear? And if it is a linear, how much you want for it?
And I have two of them, and I'm not selling them. not for sale.
Oh, I thought you said they were up for sale. All right, well, excuse me for butting in. Hey, Dave, listen to the man. He's talking about LDG again. He's being polite about MFJ. Just can't beat that LDG tuner, baby.
Sent you a text. I never did receive a link from you. I thought I did, but that was from somebody else about something else. So anyway, so you know, if you can send it, you know, whenever you get a minute, that'd be good. That would be good.
Check your text messages, bud. I've sent it twice now to your phone on text message.
Market for an amp?
Yeah, I could use a good 600 watt. I've set up a second station, and then I'm moving my regular station up into the house. And I've got an 811H that I'm using in my main station, but I got another second station. I'd like to have a little 600 water. That'd be perfect for me.
It's plenty of extra power. You think you get what? 3 dB, which is what, a half an S unit, every time you double your power. So to me, once you get up to about 800 watts, you're throwing your money away on a kilowatt. I mean, would I run a kilowatt if money was no object? Probably. Will I buy a kilowatt amp when, after I retire and consolidate all my equipment down to one station? Probably, but 600 watt amp runs fine. If I can hear it, I can work it. And I was in the same position. I have two stations, and I ran the home station for couple of years without an amp. I kind of missed it. Don't use it a lot, but you know, when you're chasing DX or trying to bust a pile up, that extra power helps. And then, like I said, I'm getting a Drake L4B, and that thing's about 1,000 watts out. You know, back then they rated the amplifiers or even the transmitter, the input power. I think it's 2,000 watt input power and about 1,000 out. So I do need to get a higher power tuner to run that thing. That's why I'm looking for a Drake MN2000. If anybody's listening and wants to let one go, let me know. This is K4WCL.
Hey, David, you reckon Phil would know about where he could find one of those?
Might. I mean, he has some contacts. I mean, I guess you could call him and ask him. You know, it'd be the thing I'd do.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We're on here all the time. David's always going to play tennis, and I'm always around in the evenings or early in the morning, and I'm KN4VWA, and I'll get a hold of W4NGU, Phil, and we'll ask him about that Drake. And it's a Drake what?
Fancy 2000. I have the MN4, which is the low-power tuner. And, you know, I could buy any manual tuner or high-power tuner, but I'm trying to keep the Drake station, all Drake stuff. Looks real nice sitting next to each other on the desk. I have a separate desk where I've got the Drake stuff, so I'd like to go back with a Drake, and I'm not in any huge rush for it. I haven't bought the amp from my buddy. He doesn't actively have it for sale. He just says, let me know when you're ready for it. And, you know, I only gave $300 for the radio with a D104, and my buddy's only wanting $350 for the amp, so I don't want to put as much money into the tuner as I have in the radio, the amp. And I've seen those things on eBay for like $400 plus, and I'm thinking, there's no way I'm going to buy a tuner and pay more for it than I did the amplifier or the radio. So I keep looking. You know, if you're patient, you'll find a deal out there. Not everybody wants to, I don't know about rip people off, but there's people that, you know, are trying to make money on equipment. I've always been of the feeling that, hey, if I've enjoyed something, time to pass it on at a reasonable price to somebody new and let them enjoy it. And there's a lot of people out there like that, so I'm sure eventually I'll find one.
Yeah, I know you will. And I'll check with Phil and see what he says. Well, in the meantime, I got to finish cleaning my truck and getting ready for the very Christmas break for tomorrow. So, y'all come on out. And in the meantime, Dave, try to behave yourself. KN4VWA, I'll be clear, and y'all carry on.
Again, the name is John, Kilo 4 Whiskey Charlie Lima. I'm a weekend resident up here. I've been trying to get on the local repeaters here a little bit more, so I'm usually on the radio Friday evening, Saturdays, maybe Sunday on the way home, but I lose this repeater pretty quick once I get into Oconee County going home. So, and speaking of losing the repeater, Dave, you got pretty scratchy there in that last over.
I'm in a bad place on Sandwich Road. There's a section that's kind of scratchy. And I'm starting up a hill. It should be getting better. And actually, headed, the hill I'm headed up is Beacon Hill. And Beacon Hill so I'm told, is the highest point in the city of Greenville. It's at the intersection of Pelham Road and, I guess this is Haywood Road here. So I'm headed up the steep hill right now. Anyway, well, good luck finding your, the stuff you're looking for there for your Drake, and, you know, I've never heard anybody really say anything bad about, the Drake products, and so, you know, I'm sure there's a good one out there for you, a good deal. You just have to find it, like you say.
Trying finding the amp and the tuner. I don't want to say anything bad about MFJ tuners, but when I was researching buying the 600-watt tuners, MFJ 600-watt auto tuner did not get good reviews on EHAM. I don't know if you're looking for a manual tuner, but auto tuner, in my mind is, yeah. I guess we've all messed with manual tuners over the years. When I bought my first auto tuner, I thought there's no way I'd ever go back to a manual. Although on the Drake, I want to keep that all, like I said, period, correct. And they didn't have automatic tuners back in the late 60s, early 70s. But, I don't know. I'm a big fan of LPG. I'm not a big fan of internal tuners and radios. Every radio I own's got an internal tuner, and I've never used any of them. I always run an outboard tuner. And, like I said, I've had good success with LDG products. So, anyways, don't know if you're familiar with the website, QTH.com, but they've got a great classified section there. And I have found several good deals on that website. And I've also directed people to what I thought was a good deal. And one of the locals just bought an ICOM 7300 off there yesterday that I pointed them to. So if you're not checking out that website, that may be a place to go to.
Well, actually I haven't, so I'll do that. And, gosh, I never forgot what I was going to say. But, oh, I have a 7300, and I use the, I use automatic tuner on it. And, yeah, I think it works great. I just hate I can't use it, you know, if I have an amplifier. That's the only downside of having an amp. So, but anyway, I want to get an automatic tuner, so we'll just have to see how that goes.
Scott was going to say, I had a signal coming in on the BVFO, which is on the Gainesville, Georgia repeater, where I usually hang out, but it was pretty weak. At first I thought it was coming through on this repeater, but then I realized it was the other VFO. I had a 7300. I bought it about 3 years ago. It's a probably the best bang for the buck as far as buying a new radio. I was trying to get an inexpensive station set up back in Georgia. I didn't have an HF station set up. And I was using an old Kenwood TS-50 that I had, and it started developing problems. So I thought, let me just buy a new rig, and I bought the 7300, and it's a fantastic radio. To me, most features and best bang for the buck as far as any HF radio goes.
I love it, and I've told a lot of people I don't think I'll ever buy another HF rig, because unless this one blows up or something, it costs more to fix it than it's worth. But because I just really, I love it. I love the waterfall and all the other features it has on it, and it's just a great rig. And so anyway, and I'm running it into a Carolina Wyndham Mantena, and it does a real good job. And I live in an HOA, so I hide it back in the backyard in the trees back there, so they don't even know it's back there.
They're both houses, Carolina Wyndham, off center fed, dipole. Works great. It's been the best HF antenna I've ever had. I've never had a directional antenna. I've always run wire antennas, and anything I can hear, I can work. I'm real happy with the off-center fed dipoles. I did buy a hex beam, and one of these days, and I hate to admit this, Dave, I bought this hex beam like 4 or 5 years ago. I still have it brand new in the box. I got a brand new rotor, brand new rotor controller, brand new rotor cable. But the thing's pretty complicated to put together, and it just seems like I don't stay around the house. And this is all from my house in South Carolina. I don't stay put for more than a couple of hours, so I've never taken the time to even unbox it and sort the pieces out and start putting it together. But I got a feeling that's going to be a retirement project. But I have it. It's all ready to go. I just got to put it together and put it up. But I'm looking forward to having a directional antenna. And as far as radios are concerned, I've got two pretty high-end radios. I kind of lucked into both of them as far as getting a super deal. I bought a TS-890 from a guy over in Spartanburg about 3 years ago. And I lowballed him, and he turned me down. And I said, I'll come pick it up. I'll bring you cash money. If you don't get a better offer, let me know. And a couple of weeks later, he called me. He said, you know, you made a lot of sense. I don't have to ship the radio, box it up, insure it. He said, if you'll bring me cash, I'll take your offer. So I drove over to Spartanburg and picked it up. And then last year, I had the opportunity to buy a ICOM 7851, which is the top-of-the-line ICOM radio. And I got that thing for pennies on the dollar. It's a long story, but the radio was like 6 months old. It's like brand new. I never thought I'd own a radio of that caliber, but it's sitting on the desk up at my house in Georgia. K4WCL.
All right. Well, those days you should have bought a lottery ticket. Oh, me. Sounds like you got a couple of good deals there, a couple of good radios, so. And the 7300, so you need to get that hex beam put together and get it up on the tower or something. I was going to ask you, you said y'all get together on the 75 meters on Saturday. What time and what frequency is that?
75 is, especially on Saturday night, pretty crowded. You've got your frequency squatters, and then you got your frequency owners, in their mind anyway. So we kind of do it organically. Somebody finds a clear frequency, and somebody will put a message out on the repeater, and we have a text message group on the Signal app. We've got about 40, 45 guys on the group, and we'll send out a group text. But hey, I can certainly call you on the repeater and let you know, but it's usually somewhere between 9:30 and 10, but the frequency, you know, we could be anywhere between 3.8 and 4, just wherever we can kind of squeeze in. And we get runoff frequencies all the time. We get cussed at. We, you know how 75 is, you know, kind of makes me want to puke sometimes on how juvenile old men can act, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I know. We had that problem last night on a sideband net that I try to check into when I'm at home. And that was on 80 meters. So anyway, and I've heard this guy, I can't remember if it's on 20 or 40, and he's got this frequency. I can't remember what it is. He says it's his frequency, and he owns it and all this stuff. And you can tell he's running. He's probably running, you know, 1.5K and just, you know, cussing up a storm. And some people like to stir the pot, so to speak. You know, the best thing you can do with people like that is just ignore them. But some people just can't do that. And they get on here every now and then, but, you know, we just ignore them. And you know, if they're not getting to you, then they'll eventually go somewhere else and bother somebody else.
You see, yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. You know, those are people with needing attention disorder. And if you ignore them, you know, if they're putting a carrier on you. You know, my group, we're all smart enough to not even acknowledge that we hear a carrier. Kick the notch filter on and forget about them. They'll usually go away. But, yeah, I know the type you're talking about. And, you know, somebody that tells you they own a frequency, they're probably not too concerned about how much power they're running either. So you said they're running a 1.5. They're probably running more because, you know, they have no respect for the rules. You know, ham radio is pretty much a self-policed hobby to a, you know, large extent. And, you know, to me, if you've taken the time to learn the material, earn the ticket, spend the money on the equipment, you ought to play by the rules. You know, to me, it just makes everything a lot better. I hate to hear cussing on the radio. I work in the construction industry. I hear cussing all day long. 5 days a week doesn't bother me. I participate rather heartedly. But, you know, when I turn the radio on, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear gentlemen talking like gentlemen. And one of the frequencies you may be talking about is on 40 meters, 7200. If you got nothing to do one evening, just turn the radio on 7.2 and go about your business, and you will be thoroughly entertained by a bunch of idiots.
Oh, that's good to know. If I get bored looking for DX, I'll do that. That's below. I'm a general, so I can't transmit, but I can listen. It's below my transmitting threshold as a general class. But anyway, I feel sorry for people like that. They got to be hurting really bad to do stuff like that. And they're just like bullies. People don't realize it. Bullies are just people that are hurting. They need the attention. They'll get it any way they can. But anyway, I'm going to jump out of here, and I'm sitting here at the sports club, and I'm going to run in and get warmed up, get some of these joints warmed up before I get out in the court and start running around like a crazy person. And I'm 66 years old, but I'm still pretty quick, and you know, I enjoy the sports. I told my wife as well as I can stand up, we're going to play tennis.
my boss. He's 10 years older than me, which would make him 72. He retired a few years ago, but, man, he still plays tennis a couple days a week, even with a bad knee and all. He enjoys it. So, hey, that's good that you keep moving. I got a dog, and I spend a lot of time walking my dog, but that's the only exercise I do get. Hey, I think you misspoke there, Dave. And I think what you said used to be true. I think the general portion of the band has been expanded on 40. The bottom end used to be 7225, but now it's 7175. I don't know if you know that. You may have an old chart, but look at your band plan chart. You can go down to 7175.
KB4CBA. Well, darn. Yeah, I think when I bought the radio, the 7300, which has been 3 years ago, I believe, in July, this past July, I picked up a chart while I was there, and I'm pretty sure it's 7.225 is what I've got written down. I just wrote it all down instead of trying to look at that crazy chart. That's all those different colors and everything. It just drives me crazy. So I just wrote down what I needed to know, and hopefully one day I'll get the extra and I won't have to worry about what frequency I'm on. But anyway, well, you have a good evening, and appreciate the update there on 40 meters, and we will talk to you later, John. You have a good evening, and maybe you can get you a nap there while you're waiting on the wife. Who knows? But anyway, I'll say 73s. I'll stick around for your final KB4CBA.
Sure, I don't like to put out misinformation. I did just pull up the band plan chart. And, yeah, general 7175 to 7300. So you're good to go there. You're missing out on 50 kilohertz of real estate. And, you know, for the longest time, Dave, I never thought I would be able to pass the general test. I never actually took the test. But I studied the material on three different occasions, and I was just coming up with blanks. I remember telling my wife one day I will never be an extra because I couldn't comprehend the material, especially the math. I am not a math guy. I got kicked out of the engineering program where I went to college 40 years ago because I couldn't do calculus. But, about 3 years ago, I buckled down, started studying around beginning of November, and it took me 2 months of studying every night for at least an hour, some nights longer, and I finally knocked the extra out December the 10th, in 2018. That was the happiest day of my life. Maybe it was 2017. I don't really remember now, but that was the happiest day of my life, Dave. I walked out of there. I sang that old Alice Cooper song, you know, school's out forever, and haven't looked back since. So I think what I'm trying to say is, hey, man, if I can do it, anybody can do it. Have fun at tennis. Go knock them dead there. I'm going to put the seat back here and let somebody else jumps in and wait for the XYL. She took me literally. I told her to take all the time she needed, and I guess she heard me. 7-3, my friend, K4WCL.
JL, got a copy?
4JL, go ahead, K4WCL.
This is Gene on this, and I'm sitting here in Anderson. I just got through reworking my radio again. This is the Caesar Mountain repeater, is that correct?
I'm a part-time local. I come up to the upstate on weekends. But that's the way I have it programmed in my radio. Caesar said VHF. So unless I made a mistake in the programming, we are both correct.
Roger. Well, I don't quite understand. In the daytime, like I'm speaking to you here, you sound great. You sound like you're sitting right here beside me. But I go to check into the net at night, and I can hear them, but they sound a lot farther off, and I've not actually been able to talk to anybody at night, so I'm not really sure what's going on.
Kind of weird. You do have a little bit of white noise in your signal, but you're solid copy. I mean, not like I'm straining to hear you through the static or anything, so I don't know. Have you moved your antenna, or you're not mobile, are you? Because, you know, sometimes mobile with VHF or UHF, you know, you move 5 inches, and that's the difference between full quieting and not bringing up the machine at all.
Yeah, Roger. Well, it is a mobile unit, but I got it set up as a base station on a 30-amp power supply sitting here. I got a 5/8 wave vertical about 15 foot in the air, and now I'm able to get into Sassafras Mountain without a problem whatsoever, but of course Caesar Mountain's on the other side. It's going in a different direction, so I'm thinking between the atmosphere, maybe there's something in my way that's not allowing me to push hard enough at night.
Well, you know, different conditions on VHF all the time, but it shouldn't affect your line of sight. I don't know, I don't know how long you've been having that issue, but that's kind of a strange phenomenon there. Because like I said, you're not marginal into the machine. You're 100% solid copy. Did you say your name was Gene? Is that Golf Echo, November Echo?
And you're absolutely right. I would think as long as I was hitting the repeater in the daytime, that means I've got clear sight. I'm sitting here, like I said, I got a 5/8 vertical, about 15 foot in the air, and I'm sitting here with a QYT. It has 25 and 75 watts, and I've even tried a 75 watts, so I don't know. It's kind of got me baffled.
What I could think of is a loose connector on the antenna or on the radio, but I don't know what to tell you there, Gene. Like I said, if you're in there now, there's not much of a difference in propagation, line of sight propagation between daylight and darkness. Now, I have noticed over the years that when the leaves fall off the trees, UHF signals will travel a little bit further. I definitely think UHF signals, and probably VHF to some extent, are attenuated by the leaves. I'll give you a good example. The D-Star machine in Clemson. I have a much easier time bringing that machine up and keeping a good signal into it on D-Star in the wintertime than I do when there's full foliage out there. And I'll give you another example. Let me let it burp. Up here is in northern Pickens County. I'm about 5 miles south of Sassafras, right there near Table Rock. And I can barely hear and bring up the D-Star machine up on Caesar's Head, mainly because I've got Pinnacle Mountain kind of in the way. But I can bring up the D-Star machine, UHF machine, in Clemson about 95% of the time. So you go figure that one.
Sometimes it's just enough to drive you a little bit crazy. I'm thinking about pushing my antenna about another 10 foot in the air. It couldn't hurt anything. Height is, king.
I've never met an antenna that was too high.
Affirmative there, I guarantee that. All right, buddy. Well, I thank you for coming back to me and giving me a report on all this and giving me your information, what you're thinking on that end. So I know you're waiting for your wife there, I believe is what you were saying. So I really appreciate the input on that, and I'll talk to you later. This is KY4JN. Talk to you later. Bye now.
Jumping in there and give me a call. Appreciate the company there. And I'm just curious, when you get a minute, Like I said, I live north of Atlanta, and there's a repeater north of Gainesville, Georgia, 14667. And we have people from the upstate jumping in there all the time, wanting to know where the repeater is located. And then they're amazed that they can bring up a repeater that far away, but the repeater's got massive coverage. I can bring it up from my house in northern Pickens with 25 watts. So if next time you're goofing around programming the radio, see if you can bring up the 14667 machine. It's a negative offset, and the PL tone is 131.8. It's a real active machine.
I went ahead and made note of that on here. I'll write it down. Just some background. You're talking about extra. I just got through getting my technician, general, and extra this year. I did it all within about 2.5 months. I used to be an amateur radio operator back in the 70s. And so I'm just tapping my toe in, and between the 70s and now, it's the same but completely different.
A lot's changed. And I wasn't a ham in the 70s, but my dad was a ham, so I grew up around ham radio in the 60s and 70s. And I don't know if you heard me telling Dave, I set up some old Drake equipment here 4 months ago, and I'm having a ball with that old Drake setup. A lot of fun to operate. I know someone in a similar situation had a ticket way back when. Did you have a novice ticket and let it lapse? Is that what happened there? And I'm curious if you sat for all three tests on the same day.
Novice, and I really, really enjoyed that for about 6 months. And anyway, I went all the way up. I was a general back in the 70s. But I did not pass all three tests in one sitting. I took the technician on May 15th, the very next month did the general, and the very next month did the extra.
Congratulations, that's quite an accomplishment. I had no problem with the tech and the general. The extra, I had to put some serious studying into. But I did very well on the test. Matter of fact, I was mad I didn't get 50 out of 50. I missed one question. It really pissed me off. But, oh well, nobody ever asked me if I missed any questions when they're talking to me on the radio. So that's good, though. I tell you what, I hate driving through parking lots. People are, you know, it's like kamikaze mission. My wife has finally emerged from Hamrick's here. But I'll let you go there, Gene. We'll chat again. Like I said, I live in the Atlanta area. But wife and I come up here every weekend because we live in the Atlanta area, if that makes sense to you. If you lived in Metro Atlanta, you'd want to get away from there too, any chance you could get. A couple years, we'll be retired, living here full time. But we come up here every weekend. We love it up here and looking forward to becoming South Carolina. Old fart residents. So I'll listen out for your final, and hopefully we'll chat again soon. KY4PJ, JP, something like that. K4WCL, 73.
I understand about the Atlanta thing, and it is really nice here in South Carolina. That's probably why you're coming up here, because you enjoy it so much. But to me, this is just the perfect place to live. The weather's nice. The people are great. It's just a beautiful place to live. So I'll get that frequency in the transmitter here, and hopefully maybe I can catch you on that frequency when you're down in Georgia. 73's to you. Keep it safe, and I'll talk to you later. KY4JN.